got a heartbreaking but equally inspirational story to tell you now. 2 years ago, Greg Withnail got a massive shock. He discovered that his wife had basically been hiding bills and invoices, meaning that the family were massively in debt. Now, with three children to feed and a wife needing significant help for mental health issues, this was an extremely stressful time. One of the biggest issues was, of course, food and not being able to afford it. So Greg turned to the Luton Food Bank, and it's no understatement to say the help they got probably saved their family. His then 8-year-old son, Dirk, was particularly grateful to the food bank and has raised almost £1,000 by going on an 87-mile walk. And this is an incredible young man. He's now 10 years old. He's developed a real social conscience. If you ask me, a possible future prime minister at work there. So we'll hear his story, but first his dad. This is Greg, and I asked him to set me the context of why they needed to access the services of the food bank in the first place.
My wife had suffered with mental health issues for many, many years, most of her life, in fact. And it all came to a head one day when I found a shoebox, stuffed full of years' worth of unpaid bills and court summonses and whatnot, and realised that something had gone wrong. And I marched her down to a psychiatrist, and she was referred here, there and everywhere, and given some medication and given counselling. And I got referred to a service run by Luton Borough Council for carers, and there was like a support group for carers I would go along to once a week. And 1 week I went along there and I was talking about how we had no food, how we'd have to dig down the back of a sofa for our last 50p to get dinner.
And you were literally looking for coins down the back of the sofa?
Literally. There's an episode we often reminisce about when we walked down to Sainsbury's with 80p and we bought 4 packets of 20p noodles and that was our dinner. And I mentioned this at this carer support group, and the lady running it, a lady called Catherine, said, "Oh, have you heard of the food bank?" And I hadn't. And she was one of what they call a referrer, who sort of kind of like contracted out to the food bank.
Yeah.
And they are empowered to give you one of these vouchers. And I took the voucher along to the food bank and brought the food home. And it changed our lives. And that's no exaggeration.
Dirk, the way your dad describes that period, obviously with your mum being really poorly, and you know, reaching that critical point where she had to go and get help from a doctor. You at the time, you were around 8 years old, have I got that right?
Yeah, 7 or 8.
What do you, I mean, I've got an 8-year-old son and he's pretty bright, he knows what's going on around him, but what do you remember of that time? Do you remember it being quite stressful at home? Do you remember being worried? Can you actually remember that time?
Yeah, it was quite stressful.
And do you remember specifically why? Was it because you were worried about your mum or worried about your dad? Or do you even remember thinking, where am I going to get food from?
Yeah, sort of, yeah. It was worrying about both and thinking, like, where am I going to get food from?
It's interesting, isn't it, Glenn? Because for an 8-year-old, that's a lot of worries to have. You know, you think about how hard it is just sort of growing up, and that's a lot to have on their shoulders. I mean, how do you remember your son's reacting?
I remember Dirk being worried by it. It was a difficult one to call, actually, at the time. I remember consciously thinking, do I try to completely shield him from this and put on a smile and pretend everything's fine, in which case, if he does spot any of the cracks, he's really going to wonder what's going on, or am I going to be totally upfront and put him in the picture? And I figured he was young, but he was very bright. And I thought, for better or for worse, we let him in on everything that was going on.
When you think about that now, Dirk, and how your dad just said that they decided to be like really honest with you, are you pleased that that's what your dad did?
Yeah, because I probably would have spotted a lot of things.
And of course, that's the thing, Greg, isn't it? That children do spot things, and the worst case is to leave them create the scenarios in their head that make it even more scary than it actually is.
Yeah, absolutely. He could have. I think the worrying about what you don't know, the fear of fear itself, that would have been the more damaging thing.
So do you remember, Dirk, when your dad sat you down and said, look, this is what's happening. This is what's happening with mum. Mum's not very well. You know, we do have some money problems because of all the money that had sort of not been very well looked after. Do you remember how you felt at that moment? Did you feel like panicked, or did you feel relieved that you knew what was going on? Do you remember that moment?
Yeah, I felt a bit of both. Mostly, like, I felt relieved, like, to know what was happening with everything.
Yeah, and I'm guessing that you would have reassured him that it was all going to be okay.
As far as I could. As I say, I consciously decided to be very honest with him. So I was very careful not to make any promises I couldn't keep. It's a cop-out in a way, I suppose. All I was doing was keeping him in the picture.
Well, it's funny you say that, because I actually disagree that it was a cop-out, because the one thing I know about child psychology is never make a promise you can't keep. I've been told that by psychologists, oddly enough, that the worst thing to do is to, for example, say, oh, I don't know, I promise you this will never happen. You know, I promise you I'll never die. Or, you know, that's the worst thing to do. And what you did was really brave. You were just, this is where it's at, and this is what we can do. Your dad was saying earlier on, Dirk, that moment where he was referred to the food bank and he came home with all of this food changed your lives. Did that haul that he'd got from the food bank just look like a massive, wonderful banquet when you saw it?
Yeah, I was quite happy about it. He had to go do like 5 or 6 trips back to the food bank because there was so much.
And for you, who'd gone through a period of, you know, like, going to Sainsbury's with your last pennies, did that feel like a really big relief to know that you had access to food?
Yeah, to actually have something was quite nice.
Yeah. And for you, Greg, I mean, bearing in mind that there is stigma around food banks, there are notions that it's a sign of, you know, failure and, you know, what you've allowed your situation to become. Did you have any self-pride issues accessing this food bank?
Honestly, it didn't occur to me to feel uncomfortable at the time. And looking back, I wouldn't feel uncomfortable where I'd be in that position again. I've got no time at all for this kind of neo-Victorian attitudes pervading the popular press that say that if you are needy or if you are ill, if you are disadvantaged, then somehow that's indicative that you are morally corrupt or lacking fibre or something.
You needed help.
Yeah, these things just happen to some people, and it is a lot of the case. You could point fingers and say you bought this on yourself, or that person should have turned left instead of right at some point, but with recriminations or crying over spilt milk don't help.
And of course, it's worth pointing out that these food banks, they're not long-term solutions. It is a help of a period of time at a particular moment when you need that help.
Yeah, absolutely. The it's having the help from the food bank removed a very big problem. We had we were trying to keep several balls in the air, settle the debts, obviously pay all our ongoing bills, keep the kids happy and fed, etc. And it just removed one problem, and food is a pretty big problem when you haven't got any, and it allowed us the breathing space.
What I find remarkable in this story, Dirk, is how there you were, 8 years old, and you're now 10, is how clearly you understand how important the food bank was for you. The you know, like when your dad talks about it being a game changer and it just helped your whole family, how clearly you understand that. Why for you was it so important, do you think? What, because you're now, you've raised money for the food banks, you've helped contribute Christmas gifts to the food banks. Why does it matter so much to you, Dirk?
Because I was like, we were actually able to stay alive, and we weren't having to scrape the back of the sofas for our last pennies.
Now listen, I'm going to say this without a hint of sounding patronising, but this is a great kid. He's such a great kid. He's 10 years old. He's so intelligent and insightful and warm, and there's more to come from him. You can hear how he's got a real social conscience, and I think he could go on to change the world, really. It's Nick Coffer on Three Counties with The Times. There's Miss Grace. This is BBC Three Counties Radio. So more to come from Dirk With now. And his dad, Greg. We'll find out next about the big sponsored event he did, how much money he's raised, and how, I guess in a nutshell, he's going to change the world.
Did you know you can now hear BBC Three Counties Radio on your TV?
Just go to Freeview Channel 720.
To make sure you can get us, you might need to retune your receiver.
For information on how you can do this, go to bbc.co.uk/reception.
And enjoy BBC Three Counties Radio in every room of the house.
On radio, on mobile,
online.
And now on Freeview Channel 720.
BBC Three Counties Radio.
So we were hearing just after the news headlines about Greg Withnell and his son, Dirk. Greg got a massive shock when he discovered that his wife, due to some quite significant mental health issues, had been stockpiling bills and invoices, and they were massively in debt. And of course, this had a massive impact on Greg and his three children, and indeed on his wife. And they basically ran out of money. They had to access food from the Luton Food Bank, and they are massively grateful to the food bank for what they did. The food bank basically kept the family together. And Dirk is now 10 years old, and he remembers so clearly, you had him talking there about what happened when he was 8 years old, and when they went to Sainsbury's and they had their last few pennies and they bought some pot noodles, and then his dad came home with what must have looked like a feast from the Luton Food Bank. And this has really marked Dirk. Dirk is very, very keen to make a difference beyond his own family, and you can hear shortly why. As I said earlier, I think there's a future Prime Minister in the making there. But he's been on a big sponsored event. He's raised upwards of £1,000, so let's find out what that's about.
I walked the Ridgeway. I was sponsored for the Luton Food Bank to walk 87 miles.
It's a long walk. It goes from where to where exactly?
Avebury to Ivinghoe Beacon.
Okay, so it's nearly 100 miles. You'd originally planned to take, what, 8 or 9 days? How long did it take in the end?
6 and a bit.
So you were Speedy Gonzales. You were on superpower. And how did it work? Did you just sort of camp on the way?
Yeah, it was only one night that we stayed at a hostel because okay. We were really tired.
Get me inside. I need to. So did it also enable you to see? I mean, it's a beautiful part of the world. That I certainly know the area around Ivinghoe. And did it enable you to see like really pretty countryside and places that you hadn't?
Yeah, it was really nice, especially when we got to see the quarries. The water was really nice and bright blue in there.
And while you were walking, as you were going through this 87 mile, which, by the way, is a lot. I struggled to do an eighth of a mile, let alone 87 miles. But as you were walking, were you always remembering why you were there? Were you saying to yourself, I'm here because I want to help the food bank. I want to raise money for the food bank. Were you really conscious of why you were doing it?
No, I kind of forgot about it along the way. I was just looking like I was enjoying the walk rather than just focusing on one thing
and in
the time.
And in the midst of enjoying it, are you up to about £900 now? Have I got that right, Greg?
I think it's
just under 1,000.
It's approaching 1,000 now. Yeah.
Well, we'll give out the page in a moment. Where if you want to donate some more to this fund, you'd be very welcome to. I'm sure Greg and Dirk would be delighted. Greg, I'm speaking to you as a dad, as a fellow dad. I'm very moved by your son. Sorry, Dirk, we're talking about, like, you're not here momentarily, but I'm very moved by your son. I'm very moved by his sensitivity and his desire to make a difference, and also the way that he was able to absorb what was a really difficult time. And I think it's really inspirational for other families of young children to hear this. You must be a proud dad.
Yeah, I am very proud of him. He can't walk past someone in the street begging for money without asking me, can he have his pocket money early? And he'll just give it all away. Last year, he saved up his pocket money all year for a nice treat for himself at Christmas. And at the last minute, he got it all out of his piggy bank and donated it to charity. His history with what's happened to him isn't something you would wish on any kid. But the silver lining, I think, is that having had those experiences, he now knows what it's like to have nothing. And while you wouldn't wish that situation on anyone, it's kind of a good thing to be aware of as you go through life.
I think as we hear the story, we completely get that. But, you know, as parents of young children, we're always trying to... So I've said it to my kids when they're having a massive tantrum and a meltdown because I happen to cut their toast in triangles and not in squares. Did you ever do that, Dirk? In my house, right, you know, why would I think of cutting their toast in squares? Or why would I be so rude as to ask them to, for example, put their shoes on? I mean, you know what I'm talking about here, don't you, Greg? And in those moments, you just say, think about the children who have nothing. Yeah. And, of course, it's fine to say that, but it's not easy for
it
a young child to...
It becomes a soundbite.
Yeah, it's not easy for them to connect with it. And as you say, although, Dirk, none of us would want any of our children to go through the kind of difficulties you went through, they clearly are shaping you into quite a remarkable young man. How is mum? How's your wife now?
She is a completely different person, unrecognisable. I won't list all the things that were wrong with her, and I'll write of her now, but yeah. She's a transformed person. The services and support that she got came at the right time when she reached out for it.
And I think also what this has shown, Dirk and Greg, with your story, is that a food bank is not just about filling a hole in someone's tummy. It's not just about, oh, we need food for tonight. What the food bank did for you was it glued your life back together. It removed one stress, and it enabled you as a family to find your way, and your mum to be in the right place to get the right help. And it's, isn't it amazing how that small thing, that small notion of food had such a massive big effect. Are you going to use all of this understanding of the world when you're older? Do you think you might work for a charity, Dirk? Or do you think you'll continue to, when you walk in the streets of London maybe, and you'll see someone who's clearly not slept in their own bed the night before and they've slept on the street, will you continue to try and help them, do you think?
Yeah, I think we should always help people that don't even have, like, a house to live in. Even if you are poor yourselves, you've still got a house and you've got a bed. So
there's always someone possibly worse off. Talk to me about the benches in Luton, the public benches. You've got an idea around that, haven't you?
Yeah, there's these about five or six of them around the library area, around the back, that have, like, armrests in the middle of them to stop poor people from lying on them comfortably.
You'd like to take those armrests out?
Yeah, definitely. It's really, really, like, just careless of them.
This is a young man with a certain passion that I think will take him a long way. I think my listeners can hear this in you, Dirk. I think it's quite clear that you're gonna move mountains. The best way for my listeners, should they want to contribute to your big walk, is it by going to your Facebook page? Is that the best way to go, or what's the best way for them?
Go to my website.
Search for him on Facebook, I think.
Well, on Facebook, it's facebook.com/DirkWalks, D-I-R-K. So facebook.com/DirkWalks. And then you've got your blogspot website where there's details how you can sponsor you there. If you go to DirkWalks.com dirkwalks.blogspot.co.uk. So I'll give you that again. It's dirkwalks.blogspot.co.uk. And just to be clear, it's Dirk, D-I-R-K. I really, really wish you, Dirk, luck, because I think that you're going to have some very interesting projects that you're going to get involved in. And as I say, I think you really, really will make a difference. And it's been really great to meet you here at BBC Three Counties Radio.
I also just want to thank everyone that sponsored me for my walk as well.
That is very kind of you, and it's taken you up to £1,000, and I'm sure that sum will continue to grow. What a great young man. There's Dirk Withnell. Really, really impressive. It's Nick Coffer on BBC Three Counties.
Sitting in the morning sun, I'll be sitting when the evening comes, watching the ships roll in, and then I'll watch them roll away. Yeah, I'm sitting on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. Ooh, I'm just sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time. I left my home in Georgia, headed for the Frisco Bay. I've had nothing to live for, and look like nothing's gonna come my way. So I'm just gonna sit on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. Ooh, I'm sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time. Look like nothing's gonna change. Everything still remains the same. I can't do what 10 people tell me to do, so I guess I'll remain the same. Listen, sitting here resting my bones, and this loneliness won't leave me alone. Listen, 2,000 miles I roam, just to make this dock my home. Now I'm just gonna sit at the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. Ooh, I'm sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time.
Otis Redding. This is Nick Coffer on BBC Three Counties. Really enjoyed chatting to Dirk Withnell. And you know that if you know someone with a story to tell, the thing about this programme is, you know, we're no respecters of reputations. You don't have to be famous. You don't have to think that you're doing something incredible. On the contrary, nearly all of my favourite things that I do on this programme are the most random. Do you remember the chap who built a model railway in his back room after his wife of 50 years passed away? That's the kind of thing that I love doing. So never be afraid to get in touch with those stories, because everyone has a story to tell.